All right, we are live right now. We want you to know that you're listening to Let the Bible Speak radio program, where you ask the question and God gives the answer through His Word. We're going to go to the Bible for all those answers that pertain to life and godliness. And so please do not hesitate to call in right now to 308-9564. That's the voice line is 308-9564. That is the voice line. You can call in right now, and we will go to the Bible for the answers to the on today's broadcast. You set the topic, you set the theme, but we're going to go to the Bible for those answers. So please go ahead and join us right now. If you have a Bible question about something that maybe was said or done this week, we want you to be able to find the answers from God's Word so that we might be able to know what He expects instead of what man expects or what we thought was right. So we'll go to the Bible for those answers. Now, if you'd rather text in your question, we have an avenue for you that way as well. If you'd rather text in your question, all you have to do is text at, and by the way, all of our numbers are area code 843-723-725-9283. That is the text line, 725-9283. Now, if you know someone that lives outside this broadcast area, you can also have them join us simply by going to our website, which is at www.BibleAlone.com. That's BibleAlone.com. And they can hit the live stream button and be able to join us via the internet. Or if they do not have access to a computer to do that, they can also use an app with their smartphone called with TuneIn Radio. That is the app which needs to be downloaded, TuneIn Radio, and then find WJNI 106.3 in Charleston. And when they click on that, then they too will be live anywhere in the world, either through the internet or through the smartphone app called TuneIn Radio. So if you know someone that lives outside this area, go ahead and call them. Let them know. Be sure to let them know also that all the phone numbers that we use during this broadcast are area code 843. So now the voice line is ready. If you have a question, you can call it right now at 308-9564. That's 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that is on your mind.
We are so grateful and thankful for the opportunity to come to you today, as in we've been doing every Sunday for a couple of years now. This is a service that we provide for those in the listening area. We have probably three counties at least that the radio signal goes out to, and this is a opportunity for you to be able to communicate with us, to engage us in conversation, question, answer, about what the Bible says. You've heard us say over and over again that it's so important that every single person have faith grounded and rooted in the Word of God. I mean, that's the only faith that really makes any difference. Romans 10:17 says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. That's why we call this Let the Bible Speak, because that's the only true way we can know we have faith. So whatever practice people are doing in their churches, whatever thing they believe about what the Bible says, whether it be baptism, whether it be about the organization of the church, whether it be how to be saved, doesn't make any difference what is said among people, even religious people. People talk about the different faiths, you know, different denominational doctrines. Those faiths are not the faith necessarily that's rooted and grounded in the plain teachings of the Bible. So it's important that we talk in specific terms about what the Bible says. And when it comes to the Bible, specific terms usually has a lot to do with a book of the Bible, a chapter of the Bible, and a verse of the Bible. We cannot talk just in generalities. We have to talk in specifics. What does the Bible say? And that's what the goal of this program is. So you can participate with us today. We can just have a little Bible study on the air. And you can call the station at 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283. And you'll also be hearing throughout the program some information about a Bible correspondence course that we really encourage people to enroll in just because you need to know what the Bible says. You know what the Bible stands for? Basic information before leaving Earth. B-I-B-L-E.
Well, that's something that man made up, of
that's
course.
True. Yeah, that's true. But that's
the actual word Bible means the book. That's all it means as far as that's concerned.
And so it's kind of an interesting, you know, way of remembering the central place that the Bible plays in our lives, because we're all going to face the judgment, and guess what we're going to be judged out of? The Bible.
Yes.
And so it makes all the sense in the world to prepare for the judgment by studying the Word of God. So this Bible correspondence course is suited just for that. So we invite you to take part in any and all things that we're doing today, so that we can all come before the Lord, and we can hear the words, "Well done, good and faithful servant," because our lives have been led by what the Bible teaches. And so please join us here today.
We also have a question left over from last week that is from Gina. We're going to address in just a moment. But we also want you to be aware of there is a way to text us. We already have our first text question. But those of you, there's no waiting. If you want to text us your question, you can do so by texting to 725-9283. 725-9283. That's the text line. Now, if you'd rather just use the voice, you can also do that as well. We have an operator standing by here at the radio station and calling 308-9564. We'll get you to that operator standing by where you can have your question either written down and brought into us, or you can go live on the air. The only thing we request is if you want to go live, we want to know your name, and thus we can address you and be polite that way. And then also, we want you to be ready to turn your radio down so there's not an echo through the signal. And so that will create a feedback, and we don't want that. The only feedback we want is from God Himself, from His Word, as we let the Bible speak. So that number, the voice line, is 308-9564. Now, Gina's question that she asked last week, she says, the Scriptures say Christ is the head of the church, like the husband is the head of the wife. Which comes first, the church or the family? Gina, and any one of you that may have this question, you may have heard people say that the church, there's a lot of religions out there that say that the church comes first, and thus that must be put before anything in this life. However, look at Acts chapter 5 and verse 29, and we have an example where the disciples were called in and instructed not to teach in the name of Christ. Well, Peter answered and said, with the other apostles, he said, we ought to obey God rather than man. So he made that very clear. We cannot do anything but what God instructs us to do. That trumps everything. That it puts everything on the back burner to what God says. And matter of fact, in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 6, he brings out, he says, and these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, not to think anything above what is written, that none of you may be puffed up on behalf of one against another. So we've got to make certain that nothing is put before what God says in His Word. If we place allegiance to family, to religious leaders, to experience over what God's Word says, well, we are in trouble with God. We must obey God rather than man, and we must not think of anything above what is written in God's Word. So thank you, Gina. We sure appreciate that. I hope you were tuned in this week for this question, and we hope that was helpful to not only you and to others that want to put the first things first. Obviously, God comes first. Matthew 6:33 as well says, seek you first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And so that's what we must do if we are going to be pleasing to God. Again, Gina, thank you so much for that question. If you have a question, make certain that you go ahead and call right now, 308-9564, 308-9564. That's the voice line, or you can text us at 725-9283.
Our first text question today comes in, and it asks, does the Bible say anything about the First Lady and church anniversary? I'm going to assume the First Lady is probably a reference to the preacher's wife and the church anniversary, I'm assuming when the church began. Well, there's nothing the Bible says about that. That's just not there. There are some principles, though, that would maybe help us find some guidance on that. When we honor somebody above others, well, sometimes that is not a good thing at all. It is good to show preference for one another, but that preference is to be to one another, not just singling one person out. So Romans 12 and verse 10 says, be devoted to one another in brotherly love, giving preference to one another in love. But James chapter 2 talks to us about not being a person who shows favoritism. In James chapter 2, it says, if a man comes into your assembly with a gold ring and dressed in fine clothes, and there also come in a poor man in dirty clothes, and you pay special attention to the one who's wearing the fine clothes and say, you sit here in a good place, and you say to the poor man, you stand over there or sit down by my footstool, have you not made distinctions among yourselves and become judges with evil motives? Listen, my beloved brethren, did not God choose the poor of this world to be rich in faith and heirs of the kingdom which he promised to those who love him? And so there is this idea that we should not play favorites with people. We should not elevate someone above another. And Jesus deals with that a lot with the apostles. The apostles were always complaining, arguing among themselves, who was the greatest. Luke 22 and 24, it says, there was also a dispute among them as to which of them should be considered the greatest. And here's what Jesus said to them. The kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and those who exercise authority over them are called benefactors, but not so among you. On the contrary, he who is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he who governs as he who serves. For who is greater, he who sits at the table or he who serves? Is it not he who sits at the table? Yet I am among you as the one who serves. So this great example we have of Jesus in John 13 of washing the disciples' feet was to teach them this very lesson, that it was not a matter of who was the greatest. It was not a matter of honoring one above others, but that we were all servants. And so as we think about this idea of honoring the preacher and his wife above others, these are practices that really go against the principles that Jesus taught about us all being servants of each other. And so we appreciate that question, and thank you for that. There's a lot of situations where we honor people, we like to honor people, and that's a good thing in general. But when we honor above somebody else, that's not a good thing.
It's time for us to take our first break, actually. So go ahead and call. If you are interested in a Bible correspondence course, please call 553-5157. That will get you to the line where you can enroll in the Bible correspondence course. It is free. We are happy to send this to you. And if you are getting any blessing from this radio program, please know you will get 10 times more blessing from a direct study of God's Word yourself. And that is a tool that will get you into areas of the Bible that are not commonly taught in the religious world. We will give an answer to God on all that he says, all that he instructs. And so now is the time to find out what all is in there that we just have not been hearing. So why not call right now, 553-5157. get that course in the mail to you. And when you get it, study it. Don't go through, don't just let it sit on the table or stay stuffed in the mail or put it in file 13. No, get it out, open it, study it, open up your Bible, learn from God's word, because God himself is going to be able to instruct us from his word to do things that we may not have been hearing before. One more time, that number is 553-5157. Here's more information on that in this little break. While we are at break, those of you that are already one of our students, go ahead and call in your question. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right back. We're back live now. We want you to know we're serious about that correspondence course. You are able to dig into God's Word and be able to discover treasure that will be eternally beneficial to you. It will have eternal ramifications. What you see, what you dig out, and what you apply as you obey from the heart. Now, ladies and gentlemen, if we only use a study of God's Word as an intellectual exercise, it will not accomplish anything. The devil has already been there. He knows the Bible backwards and forwards. Didn't accomplish anything with him, and nor will it with us. We've got to not only know it, but we've got to be doers of the word and not hearers only. James chapter 1, verse 22. So as we learn from him, and then we are moved with gratitude from our heart because of how much he loves us, then we become blessed by him, because he is then working with us and showing his love in an active way to us. It doesn't mean we'll die wealthy or even that we're going to have a health or wealth, because neither the apostles nor Jesus died wealthy, and many ended up being sick as well, some nigh unto death in the first century. And that's close to dying. And so you can see here, this health and wealth gospel thing is one thing that's not in the New Testament. So let's see what God really intends for us. The health and the wealth, the blessing, is supposed to be in heaven. And that's exactly where it's at. And there's only one way to get there, and that is to follow Christ's example. So let's get into the Word to find out what God has to say. Why not get this course where you can study free of charge? We will never ask for a handout. So, ladies and gentlemen, put away your checkbook. Put away your wallet. Do not send us your tithes. Do not send us your offerings. We want to give you treasure that will never be taken away. So go ahead and call 553-5157 to get this free study in God's Word, where you will be able to study it and dig these things out yourself and see it in your own Bible, so that you can be eternally blessed with the blessing of God himself. It's not going to go cha-ching in your pocket. It's going to go ringing in heaven, and that's where we should be putting our hearts. One more time, that number is 553-5157, and the course will be in the mail this week. Now, if you have a question, call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line. Or you can text us with your cell phone at 725-9283. Steve, I believe you have a follow-up to your first question.
Yeah, Ricky, I do. It's not necessarily a question, but maybe a clarification. I assume that the first lady was maybe the preacher's wife or something. I've heard that expression used before, or something similar at least. And the caller, I'm assuming it's the same caller, said the first lady is the church or heaven. And so I appreciate the clarification, and there is some scripture for that. Some think 2 John 1:1, where John writes to the elect lady and her children, that's a church. That could be. Don't really know for sure. Ephesians chapter 5, of course, talks about the Christ and his relationship with the church, and the parallel is made between a husband and his wife. And so Jesus refers to the church as his bride, and he as the bridegroom. So we could talk about first lady, I guess, in that sense.
Well, it does say, the first question that came in mentioned the church anniversary as well, showing that there was some kind of annual event that was taking place. And as we look into God's Word, there is no such thing as any annual event that God's people or God's church is supposed to be doing. The only event that He has programmed or commanded for us to do is to be done weekly. Yeah. And so that's on the first day of the week when we gather together to meet with Him, to commune with Him, to be able to serve Him and worship Him. And so that was the event that God has prescribed in His Word. Thank you so much. We sure appreciate both of those questions as you have called in, and you seem to be an active listener, and we are so thrilled that you desire to know what God says in His Word. We have Van. By the way, if you have a question, you can call our voice line. The voice line is 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. Van called in the voice line, and he wants to know concerning deathbed confession. And before he dies, without baptism, will he go to heaven? Well, Van, it's as simple as asking, as far as everything God requires, is it possible to go to heaven without doing anything God prescribes? I first want you to know that Matthew 7:7, and be reminded, and you probably know this verse, it says, "Ask, and it shall be given unto you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it shall be opened to you." And so there God Himself gives a promise concerning our relationship with Him. If we are seeking, we are going to find. We're going to find that which will help us to get to heaven. The problem is a lot of people really aren't seeking. They're not knocking, and they're not asking questions. But in that same chapter, I would point out in verse 21, He says, "Not everyone who says to Me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of My Father who is in heaven." So it is, as we can see there, what if someone does not do the will of the Father? Let's ask Jesus Himself, will they be able to go to heaven? Well, He answers that, the next verse. "Many will say unto Me that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in Your name? Have I not cast out demons in Your name and done many wonders in Your name? And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from Me, you who practice lawlessness." Now we see this individual that Jesus is describing here as someone that was prophesying. They were casting out demons. They were doing wonders or miracles in His name. But Jesus said, "I never knew you." Whoa. And He was going to send them away even though they were sincerely religious? Well, where did we find that at? Well, again, that's Matthew 7, verses 21 through 23. And so if we fail to do anything He asks us to do, well, let's ask Luke's account. Luke chapter 13 and verse 3 says, "I tell you, no, but unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." So if we do not repent, Luke, will we perish? Yeah, according to what Jesus says there. And what about if we do not believe? In Mark 16 and verse 16 says, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved. He that believeth not will be condemned." So if we do not believe, will we be condemned? Well, yeah, that sure looks like that as well. And so when you look and see that verse again, Mark 16, 16, it says, "He that believeth and is baptized will be saved." And so when you see that Jesus Himself couples this baptism with that salvation, well, then we have to just take it the way it says it. We cannot do anything. We can't add to God's Word without penalty. We cannot leave anything out without penalty. And so we've got to just listen to what Jesus says in His Word. And He's not the only one. Later, Peter is commissioned by God. And he says in Acts 2 and verse 38, he couples repentance with it. It says, "And Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." So, Van, there you can see there's several verses. We could go to many others. If you're making notes, which I hope you are, and you have pencil in hand, write down also Acts chapter 22 and verse 16, where Paul himself was told to arise and be baptized. Also, 1 Peter 3, verse 20 and 21, along with the verses that I used, Matthew 7, verse 7, verse 21 through 23, and then also Mark 16 and verse 16. Thank you so much, Van. Thank you for your interest in wanting to know what God says in His Word. We are so thankful that you have an interest in that. It's time for us to take our next break. Wow, time is passing. Again, you can call right now. The lines are available, both lines, so you can call right now, 308-9564, and ask your question, and we'll go to the Bible for the answer. If you'd rather, you can text us at 725-9283. Please know that we are about to tell you about a priceless item that we are happy to send you in the mail. Not because what we're sending you is priceless. It's just when you study God's Word and you dig out the treasure in God's Word, that is what will become priceless to you. Let us encourage you to get into your own Bible. Find the answers that pertain to life and godliness. That will become priceless to you. Here's how to do it. We'll be right back.
We are hoping that message you just heard will encourage you to take that Bible correspondence course. And he gave you some really good reasons why you ought to be doing that. As we said earlier, that we're all going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5:10 says we'll receive the things done in our body, whether good or bad. Now, knowing that that's going to happen, are you looking forward to that in your present condition? If you're not happy with your answer, then taking that Bible correspondence course is imperative for you to do. We're being very honest and very serious with you because our soul salvation is a very serious thing. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 talks about the God of this world blinding our minds. Do you think he still does that today? Do you think we're being confused? Do you think we're being blind? Do you think we're being told some things that aren't in the Bible? Do you think we are being protected, if you please, from certain things the Bible says? Do you think that when you hear a lesson from God's Word, that it's truly from God's Word, that it's the whole truth and nothing but the truth? You know, when Paul talked to the Ephesian elders in Acts 20, he says that he did not shy away or did not shun from declaring the whole counsel of God. And so there are a lot of churches out there that are restricted from telling you certain things because of what's taught in seminary, because of what their creed book says. And so how do you know that you're getting the whole truth and nothing but the truth? Well, a surefire way of knowing that is opening the Bible for yourself and allowing yourself to be having God's Word implanted into your own heart without the middleman. You know, when we buy something, well, if we want the best price, sometimes to cut out the middleman, we get the best price. We cut out the middleman between us and God, and we just go straight to God. We can just get His Word from the horse's mouth, as we say. So we want you to make sure that you are hearing the pure and simple truth of God, and the only way you can be guaranteed of that is when you study the Bible for yourself. So call that number, 553-5157, just to make sure that you are hearing just God and not somebody else. And that's one of the big reasons why we keep reminding you that don't listen to us. Listen to God's Word. And so we try to be very, very careful about giving a book and a chapter and a verse where the answer to your question can be found. And in doing so, we're not trying to be, you know, the Bible answer man. We are trying to direct you to the Bible and make it possible for you to see that you can read the same thing that we're reading. And so cut out the middleman. Go right to God's Word and receive His truth directly and obey it. 553-5157 is that number. If you'd like to participate in the program here, 308-9564 is the voice line. If you want to text, 725-9283 is the number for that, and we will let the Bible speak.
Both lines are available right now. If you have a question, don't hesitate to call in. The voice line is 308-9564. Don't hesitate to call your question in right now. Both lines are available. Don't let the questions pile up and cause us have to wait till next week to answer it. Go ahead and call right now. I know this is the first Sunday of the month, and so many of you are probably getting out of services about now. And so if you have a question about something that occurred today, because many churches practice a communion once a month instead of once a week, in the Bible, you might wonder, when did they and how often did they partake of the Lord's Supper? Well, the answer to that is in Acts chapter 20 and verse 7, where it says, upon the first day of the week. It says week. Sure does. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to, that's right, break bread. On the first day of the week, the disciples came together to break bread. Now, that happens every 7 days, doesn't it? First day of the week. Literally, that means the first of seven. And so when you look at this, then that's what the New Testament church did. So if your church did not do that throughout last month, then you might ask yourself, am I part of a church, the church that's in the Bible? And that's a very important question to ask. Am I doing it God's way or man's way? That's a good question to ask. The only way to find out is to compare what we practice with what God says in His Word, and then we will see the answer for ourselves. So don't hesitate. Go ahead, call in your questions right now, 308-9564, or you can text in your question at 725-9283. We have this question coming in, a text question. This is really sad. So, ladies, prepare your heart. The question is, after becoming pregnant at the age of 15, I had to stand in front of the church congregation and read Psalm 51, and they've got it in all caps, every Sunday. I was told it was to purge me. And their question is, what is purging? It's amazing to see what kind of traditions, I'll just be gracious and put it that way, that churches will come up with in order to subjugate their members, to put them under their thumb and cause them to do things God has never told us to do. Texter, I want you to know that you should be alarmed about that. I would encourage you, though, to read 1 John chapter 1 and verses 6 through 9. Here is what God says that we should do as we are trying to serve Him, as we're trying to make certain that we're showing ourselves approved to Him. Now, there's a lot of churches today that say, oh, it's just not that easy. You've got to also please us as a church. You've got to do all of these rituals that we tell you to do in order for you to be forgiven. Okay, who are we trying to serve? If you're trying to please the church or that denomination or the laws and doctrines that they teach, well, then just go ahead. But Jesus says in Galatians 1, if anyone teaches anything other than what we have taught you, they are to be accursed. Write that down and read it. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Paul didn't even have the right, nor an angel from heaven have the right to come up with something new. So if somebody comes up with something new and texter, I want you to know that is certainly not in God's Word what you read, what you were instructed to do there. Here's what God does say. 1 John chapter 1, beginning with verse 6. If we say we have fellowship with Him, that's talking about God here, if we say we have fellowship with God and walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as he is in the light. We have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. That's what God says. He goes on. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. So those of you that were instructing that young lady to do that, you also are a sinner as well. How come you do not get up in front of the church and read Psalm 51 every week? Or if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And again, he reminds us one more time, if we say we have not sinned, we make him a liar, and his word is not in us. Then John gets tender. God, through John, gets tender. My little children, these things I write unto you that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation or the sacrifice, the atonement for our sins. And not only for ours, but also for the whole world. Caller, I mourn with you over being treated that way, because I've heard of many churches out there coming up with all kind of actually cruel things that they're doing to try and subjugate, that is, put people underneath their thumb to make them follow their set of rules that they might not get out of line according to their judgments. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to get out from under the tyranny of man-made teaching and get into the heart of a gracious, loving God. And the only way we can do that is to let him be the only one that's instructing us to be able to know what is right and wrong. Thank you so much for sharing that with us, and I hope that answer was helpful to you. That was 1 John chapter 1, verses 6 through chapter 2 and verse 2.
And she asked about what purging meant. Well, purge means to cleanse.
Yeah.
So that passage in 1 John talks about that. In that passage in Psalms 51, that purging comes from, purge me with hyssop and I shall be clean. Wash me and I shall be whiter than snow. David was appealing to God, you know, like 1 John 1 passage. And so I'm not sure what the reading, the Psalms 51 in front of the congregation, how that was supposed to purge, since God's the one who's been sinned against. He's the one that can only cleanse us.
It is, and in fact, a great passage, along with the other three psalms that he wrote, where he is showing his heart. And hopefully we do have that kind of heart. See, the problem that I have with what they did in treating you is it was not about God. It was about you trying to show yourself before the church your repentance. Repentance is shown by a change of action. Matthew 3 and verse 8, bring forth fruit to demonstrate your repentance. Time for us to take another break. We want you to know that the lines are available right now. If you want to call in with your question, the voice line is available. There's no one on, so you'll be next in line to call. If you have a question, maybe about what this young lady had to go through, or some things that you may have a question about in God's Word, now's your chance to get through. 308-9564. The lines are available. They're ready for you to get in. 308-9564, or you can text us at 725-9283. We'll be right. We are serious when we say that this is free, and free is what we mean. What free looks like is put away your checkbook. Do not expect any kind of suggestion for a contribution. We do not want your contribution. We do not want you to feel obligated to send us any kind of financial aid whatsoever. What we are really interested in is what God can do for you. Now think about it. When Jesus came to this earth, he could have made money out of thin air. He didn't do that. He could have caused every single person on the planet to be in perfect health. He didn't do that. Everyone that followed him, he could have lavished them with silver and gold and the finest of clothing. He didn't do that. What he lavished them with was the treasure that is eternal, the message from God's word. Matter of fact, if you are adventurous enough to do this, and I'm sure some of you are, if you take the book of John and turn to chapter 6 and read that whole chapter, it's 60-something verses. I know it's a long chapter, but read the whole thing. You will discover a lot about the nature of why Jesus came. In the first of the chapter, he fed the 5,000. Oh, they liked that. They liked it so much, they tried to make him to be a king. Well, nope, he escaped and sent them away. The next day, some of them followed him and found him. Oh, he turns to them and says, you're not following me because of the miracle, because of the sign, because of the teaching, the words that I gave you. You're following me because you did eat and were filled. He said, do not hunger for the food that perishes with the passing of time, but rather eat and drink me. What? What you talking about? Eat and drink me. They didn't like that a little bit. They were confused. They murmured. He says, don't murmur among yourselves like this. No, you need to eat the bread of life. The words that I give you, they are the fruit that God wants you to have. It says, no one comes unto the Father except the Father draw him. They must all be taught of God. They must have learned from the Father. That's how they come. Well, they didn't like that. They turned away. Matter of fact, when Jesus kept on trying, you see around verse 60, and so you see that those people, thousands, turned and walked with him no more. Oh, Jesus was a failure. No, he wasn't. They were a failure. They turned away from him. It seemingly may have been thousands. Can you imagine that picture in your mind? All of these hundreds and hundreds of disciples turning away from him, never to return back. Oh, Jesus was really, it seemed as if he was upset about this because he turned to the 12 and he asked them, are you too going to turn away? And Peter came back and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For you have the words of eternal life. We know that you're the Messiah come from God. Peter got it. The 12 got it. Ladies and gentlemen, do you get it? It is not about the food that goes into the belly or the things that we may wear in this life. It is about the treasure, the message. Jesus said, the words that I speak unto you are spirit. They are what will save you. And ladies and gentlemen, that's what we want you to have. God's word that will bring salvation of your soul, which will be a treasure never to be taken away. It will be of eternal value. Now you see why we want you to encourage you to enroll in this Bible correspondence course. Learn that treasure, those words that will give eternal life. Call 553-5157. If you've never enrolled in this course, now is your chance. 553-5157. It is free. It is pricey. It was paid by the blood of Jesus Christ. So take advantage of this. The price has already been paid. Now, all you need to do is find out about it. 553-5157. Right now, you can enroll in that course, and we'll get it in the mail this week. And again, we will never, ever ask for a handout or a contribution of any form or fashion. One more time, that's 553-5157. Now, the lines are available. If you have a question, go ahead and call 553-5157, and we will let the Bible speak.
We have a question from Linda. It's a very specific question, and I think this will be one of interest for a lot of listeners. She says, are we to celebrate the festivals of booths, that's B-O-O-T-H-S, Passover, feasts, etc.? And, of course, these are things that are taught in the Old Testament. If you go to Colossians chapter 2, Linda, and others that are listening today, that question is specifically dealt with by Paul the Apostle in Colossians chapter 2. I want to pick out some verses of chapter 2 in that general context that kind of sets the stage for us. Verse 6 of Colossians 2 says, "As you therefore have received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith as you have been taught, abounding in it with thanksgiving." So that's our goal, our guide to walk in Christ Jesus. Then verse 8 says, "Beware lest anyone cheat you through philosophy and empty deceit, according to the tradition of men, according to the basic principles of the world, and not according to Christ." Well, then skip down to verse 14. He talks about the idea of our undergoing the circumcision of Christ, being buried with him in baptism. That's verse 11 and 12. And being raised up with him through faith in the working of God who raised him from the dead. And that being dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, he has made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses. And then verse 14, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to his cross. So this handwriting of ordinances, requirements rather, that was against us, he took it out of the way, nailing it to the cross. And again, you may guess correctly that that is a reference to the law of Moses. Well, to check yourself on that, notice verse 16. He says, "Let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival, or a new moon, or Sabbath." Well, why should we not feel compelled to do those things? Why should we not let someone judge us that we ought to keep those things? Well, verse 17 says, "Which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Let no one cheat you of your reward, taking delight in false humility and worship of angels." And so this whole context from verse 6 on is talking about focusing on the things of Christ, not being led astray by traditions of men or by philosophy or empty deceit, but focusing on the things of Christ. He nailed these things to the cross, so don't feel like you need to be forced to keep these things. These are just a shadow of things to come. The substance, the body, is of Christ, and that's what we need to focus on. He brought in a new covenant, and that's what we need to go by. That's why we keep emphasizing the New Testament church, the teachings of Jesus, the teachings of the Holy Spirit through the apostles in the letters to the New Testament. That is the thing that we are to follow today. So, Linda, we appreciate your specific question, and we hope that this answer was very informative to you, and appreciate so much your participation. We appreciate all those who have participated today, and we want you, if you've got a question, don't hold back. Give us a call, 308-9564, or text us at 725-9283, and we'll let the Bible speak.
We hope and pray that you are being blessed from the radio program today. Our program is called Let the Bible Speak, and we hope that conveys to you exactly what we are intending to occur, and that is for people to get their answers from God's Word, not from any other source, but to let God Himself speak. You set the topic, you set the theme. God gives the answers to the questions that you have on your heart and on your mind. The Bible Correspondence course that we offer every 15 minutes is something that is absolutely free. And the reason that we are so, if you will, excited about sharing that with you is because it will uncover some things, some truths in God's Word that you may have never seen before. The reason, because most churches today that are mainstream at least, and then others as well, are restricted from telling the whole truth and nothing but the truth, because they must operate from within the denominational doctrine or box, the parameters that define that denomination or that system of faith. I know there's a growing number of community churches and nondescript churches in around the Charleston area, but it doesn't take long to discover that they still are fitting right into that box by just asking a few questions that shows that. Whether they fit into one mainstream or another mainstream, it is clear that they are restricted from following exclusively what God's Word says. And all we're wanting people to do, including you, my friend, is to get into the Bible and see the answers now while we can make the necessary adjustments to our eternal destiny, and it will have eternal ramifications if we do not hear the truth and the whole truth. Jesus warned us 2,000 years ago, many will say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have I not prophesied in thy name? Have I not cast out demons in thy name, and in thy name done many wonders? And I will profess to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's not let ourselves be caught up in that kind of category. And the only way that that can be prevented is for us to listen to what he said to set this up. That is verse 21. Not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. So let's find the truth. What is it that God expects of me? Let's erase all question marks, all hocus pocus, all requirements of man, and find out what God expects. And as you can see from some of the questions today, God's way is a whole lot easier than what man has come up with. So let's find the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth. Here's your chance to enroll in the Bible Correspondence Course. You can simply do it by calling 553-5157. Here are more details on that. Those of you that are already our students, go ahead and call. Your voice, the voice line is available, 308-9564, or you can text at 725-9283.
We hope that you have been enjoying this program. We hope more so that you have been enjoying spiritual truth, that your spirit has been excited by learning what God's Spirit says. It is such an important principle to be able to know what God says, that it comes from God's mouth. You know, it's interesting that when Jesus talked to the Pharisees and he kind of questioned them about why were they keeping their traditions over the commands of God? Well, he goes on to talk about the prophecy of Isaiah, that, and he accuses them of being hypocrites. He says, "As people draw nigh to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. In vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." You ever thought about that verse? You ever thought about how do you know whether or not the place that you worship, the things you've been hearing, are the doctrines or the commandments of men? Are they the doctrines of God or the commandments of men? Are they the teaching of God or are they the traditions of men? Well, how would you know? Well, the only way you would know is by reading the Bible for yourself. How many people have you seen do? They go to church, and the preacher gets up, and he starts talking. Everybody's amening, preach it, right on, say it. Are you looking at your Bible? Is he even using the Bible? You know, how would you know whether or not what you're hearing are the doctrines of God or the commandments of men? Now, it's interesting that when Jesus presented that to the Pharisees, the apostles were kind of concerned. So in verse 12 of Matthew 15, the disciples came and said to him, "Do you know that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying?" And I'm afraid sometimes that's what happens with people who hear this program, as we keep challenging all of us to make sure that we're listening to the commands of God and not some man. We're not trying to offend people. We're trying to get people to focus on God's Word. Well, some were offended. And so Jesus' response to that is very interesting. In verse 13, he answered and said, "Every plant which my heavenly Father has not planted will be uprooted." Now, that's a scary thought. There's a bunch of plants out there. There's a bunch of religious plants out there. But we make a false assumption if we believe that the heavenly Father planted every one of those. Jesus said, even with the Jews, every plant which my heavenly Father planted will be uprooted. Let them alone, he says. They are blind leaders of the blind, and if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the ditch. How do you know you're being led by the blind? Well, you don't, unless you look into God's Word and let it open your eyes. That's why this Bible Correspondence course is so helpful, is so important, and that's where freedom comes from. You know, freedom to serve God, freedom to know God's truth comes from God's Word. So let that faith that God expects for us to have, which can only come from God's Word, to lead you, direct you, and guide you. And when the final judgment day comes, you know you can stand on solid ground because all of your life you have been looking and teaching and listening and obeying only the Word of God. So call that number, 553-5157. Enroll in the Bible Correspondence course today. Don't put it off. Do it today. And you can start learning the great treasures of God's Word. If you'd like to participate in the program today, call us 308-9564. Or you can text us at 725-9283, and we will turn to the Bible and look at what it tells us.
We are so thankful that you have tuned in and that you're part of this program today. We hope and pray that you will not only be a listener, but also participate in the program. You can do so by calling 308-9564. That is the voice line, 308-WJNI. 308-9564, and we will let the Bible speak to the question that's on your heart and mind. Both lines are available right now, so you can call in and get your question on the air today before the program finishes. So go ahead and call right now. Now, if you'd rather just text, you can text in your question at 725-9283. Either way, please call, and we will be glad to get your question answer it from God's Word today as we let the Bible speak. We have James calling in this question. He wants to know, he lives in Walterboro. Thank you for listening, and thank you for calling in and asking your question. His question is there one specific version of the Bible we should be reading from? Well, James, no, there isn't. I would recommend that when you study, that you study from a word-for-word translation. Now, there are those translations out there that are translated by thought for thought, but they are highly prejudiced many times by the translators because of their system of belief that they are connected with. And so there are those that are translated thought for thought, a collection of words to be translated into a collection of words. And so there are preconceived ideas that sneak through those kind of translations. However, there are some out there that are called word-for-word translations. Let me give you a list of those. The oldest that we have published today is the Old King James Version. That is a word-for-word translation. It is built upon less resources than some of the newer translations. For example, the New King James Translation has actually more original copies or older copies than the first 1611. Of course, you probably don't know anyone that even has one of the original 1611s. And so that is those are a good translation. Then there is a modern one that has just been translated in the last few years that is a word-for-word translation that is really good. You can find them easily in most bookstores today. It is called the English Standard Version. That is a word-for-word translation. It's written in our language as we speak today. And so you can easily read that. It doesn't have the these and the thous that would cause you to be confused or stumbled, or language that has changed in the last few hundred years. So please avail yourself of that. Now, there's the one that you hear Steve use all the time as well. He uses the New American Standard Translation, which is also a word-for-word translation. Then there is another one that actually the New American Standard came from, which is called the American Standard. And of all of them that I've mentioned, that one is the most correct, precise translation that has been published in English, that is. However, it is so precise and so correct, it's hard to read. And your question is, which one to be reading from? That one's very difficult to read because it is so exact to the original language. Languages do not match up just as we understand English does. We have a lot of filler words in our language. The original in the Old Testament was Hebrew. The original in the New Testament was Greek. And it was a Koine Greek, not the Greek that is spoken on the island of Greece today or in that area of the world. It was a different kind of Greek back then. So, James, I hope that's been helpful to you. Go, if you're interested you can. They're free on the internet. If you have a smartphone, they're free as well. And ESV is the most modern, correct, word-for-word translation, English Standard Version. And so hopefully that's helpful to you. Thank you, James, and thank you for listening in. I know it's hard for you to hear up in the Walterboro area, but we appreciate you straining and hearing, and we so thank you for tuning in to today's broadcast. Ladies and gentlemen, if you have a question that you would like to ask, we have one more segment left after our next break. We don't want you to miss out on getting your question in today. So go ahead and call right now, 308-9564. That is the voice line, and both lines are available. So you can get in right now if you want to call, 308-9564. If you'd rather just text, you can do that as well, 725-9283. But by all means, get your question in so we can go to the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Did you hear me? Yes, God's Word addresses everything that pertains to life and godliness. So ask and you will find the answer in God's Word, on those categories at least. 308-9564, that is the voice line, or 725-9283.
We have a question here from Jerome, and Jerome wants to know, what was Paul doing in Arabia? Was he doing ministry or worshiping God? That most likely comes from the book of Galatians, because Paul there mentions the fact that he had gone down to Arabia, and then in the book of Galatians he's there talking about his ministry standing on its own, that is, from God and not dependent upon the other apostles. He makes that statement in Galatians chapter 2. So he was called directly by Jesus, commissioned by Jesus, and so the reference to Arabia is in Galatians, I think I said Galatians 2, it's Galatians 1, and he says about this revelation that he'd received by Jesus, verse 16, he says, verse 15, but when he who had set me apart, even from my mother's womb, and called me through his grace, was pleased to reveal his son in me that I might preach him among the Gentiles, I did not immediately consult with flesh and blood, nor did I go up to Jerusalem to those who were apostles before me, but I went away to Arabia and returned once more to Damascus. And then he talks about 3 years later, he goes to Jerusalem and becomes acquainted with Cephas. And so we're not sure what he did. He doesn't say, but I imagine that he was communing with the Lord, learning about the gospel, the truth that he taught all over the world. And so we appreciate that question, Jerome. And right now we're up with our last break. We're going to give you another opportunity to hear about this Bible correspondence course. Please listen carefully to this. This is, again, a very essential part of this program and what we are about in encouraging people to study the Bible for themselves. We want you to know the freedom that Jesus promised us if we would know the truth. Let's take away all the distractions from all the different voices that are saying all the different things the Bible says. Let's just listen to what God says. And we can do that if we just study His Word by itself. So please give heed to this information, and we will see you in a little bit.
We're back live now. We want you to know that we are glad to be in your presence, and we hope and pray that the things that we are covering today will have great eternal benefits to your soul as we look into the Bible for the answers that pertain to life and godliness. Now, the information we just gave you about the correspondence course, it is free. And so we want you to know that we're glad to be able to send that to you absolutely free. I just think we got a signal that there's a live caller standing by. Is that correct? No? Okay. I'm sorry about that. I thought there was. And so please go ahead and call in your questions, 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI. We have David calling in this question. He wants to know, the rapture, is it a biblical concept? David from Somerville wants to know about the word or the idea of rapture, the concept. Well, first of all, David, you're right. The Bible does not mention the word rapture at all. Now, there is a word that means that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, when it says in verse 17, then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall be with him, be always with the Lord. So that word caught up could be translated as rapture, and that's where it all comes from. But you ask about the biblical concept of it. The idea of the Lord coming back to earth is totally foreign to God's word. We have to understand, if we're going to speak as the Bible speaks, the idea of Jesus coming back to earth is never mentioned. It says we will meet him in the air. That same verse that they use shows where we're going to meet him. And those that would propagate the idea of premillennialism would say that he's going to come down and set up his kingdom. Please, ladies and gentlemen, grab a paper and pencil. I'm fixing to give you six verses you need to read to show all of those theories about the thousand-year reign and the millennialism, either pre or post, or however it is packaged, is absolutely wrong. And so here is the problem with it. They all say that Jesus did not set up his kingdom in the first century. And that is in error. Here we go. Mark 9:1, Jesus said, some of you stand here will not taste of death till they see the kingdom of God come with power. Mark 9:1. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21, they ask about Jesus' coming, his kingdom. He says, the kingdom of God does not come with observation, neither shall they say, lo here or lo there, for behold, the kingdom of God is in you. Luke 17, verse 20 and 21. John 18:36, Jesus was asked about his kingdom, if he was a king, and he says, my kingdom is not of this world. And he goes on to elaborate on that. Acts chapter 2, the sermon there talked about Jesus being raised up, is sitting on a throne. Ladies and gentlemen, who sits on a throne? A king, yes. So his kingdom was set up right there in Acts chapter 2. He was sitting on his throne. And now if you doubt that, you can turn to Colossians chapter 1, verse 13, where Paul says that he has been translated out of the kingdom out of the power of darkness into the kingdom of the dear son or son of his love. And so there you can see Paul was in the kingdom. Then Hebrews 12 and verse 28 says, wherefore receiving a kingdom which cannot be moved, let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with godly fear. Jesus says we're receiving the kingdom through the Hebrew writer. One more, Revelation 1:9, John was in the kingdom. So there you have it. The kingdom was set up in the first century. And any group that would say that the kingdom of God was not set up in the first century, I would encourage you to run. Don't walk. Run away from them because they are trying to use sensationalism to hold you in their trance. No, let's let the Son of God hold us in his heart by doing what he says. We sure do appreciate that very much, and we appreciate your interest in this question, and we hope and pray that has been beneficial to you. Again, the number to call is 308-9564. That's 308-WJNI.
We, from time to time, as we've been advertising this Bible correspondence course, I just want to take another opportunity to tell you about that and to ask you a question. The question is, would you know whether or not the Word of God has been made of no effect in your life? How would you know whether or not the Word of God has been, some of its power has been taken away from it? You know, a parallel to that passage we read in Matthew 15 is in Mark 7. And these Pharisees who were keeping their traditions over the Word of God, Jesus says they make the Word of God of no effect through their tradition, which you have handed down, and many such things you do. You know, it behooves all of us, because we are going to stand before God and give an answer of the things that we have said and done. And we can't blame it on the preacher. We can't blame it on relatives. We can't blame it on anybody in whatever church we're going to, because God will ask us, why did you not seek my truth? Why did you not study the Word of God? Why not, when you were asked and encouraged many times over to make sure that you were reading and studying the Word of God for yourself, why did you not take advantage of that? And I wouldn't want to be in your shoes on that particular day. So let's study the Word of God. Let's take that Bible correspondence course, 553-5157. Sign up today so that you can be free from the traditions of men. You can have full benefit of the power of God's Word and not watered down by the traditions of men. So call today, 553-5157.
And that is very important, that you get that information in your mind and available to you, so that you will be able to discover these things from God's Word for yourself. Don't take our word for it. See it for yourself. You will be blessed if you call that number and enroll in the course and then study through it. You will be much blessed by finding those answers directly from God's Word. 553-5157. We have Joe calling in this question, a longtime listener from years ago. Matter of fact, I had the privilege of being able to sit down with Joe, and we sit down and studied God's Word together. Lives in Wadmalaw Island. He wants to know why we do not have fellowship around town or close by. Well, Joe, it is a matter of just geography, first of all, you know, the Wadmalaw Island to Goose Creek, and that is a problem. But when there's a group of disciples that would be meeting, then we would certainly be glad to let you know about it. We have had a meeting out at the Wadmalaw Island area before. We're trying to finish our circuit of all the communities in the whole area, but we can't find a place to meet in the Mount Pleasant area is where we're focused on at the moment, and so we're still looking for a place to meet, to have a meeting fellowship there. But now, the word fellowship means is a mutual participation and communion with. If we are not in communion to letting God be the only source of truth, then there really is no communion. In Ephesians chapter 5 in verse 11, it says, have no fellowship, there's a word, with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. And so that's the whole purpose of this radio program and the Bible correspondence course, is to make certain that those unfruitful works of darkness are exposed. Now, you might be thinking of darkness as something that is like wicked and some of those sins that are condemned in some of those lists. But let's let God define that. In 1 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 1, it says, now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons. Ooh, that's horrible, isn't it? Well, listen to what else he says. Speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron. What were these doctrines? What were these these doctrines of demons? Well, it goes on to say, verse 3, forbidding to marry, commanding to abstain from foods, which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Well, wait a minute. What's wicked about that? Why would that be called a doctrine of demon? It's because it's different than what God's word says. So anything, anytime we go beyond what God says, well, then God calls that wicked. He calls that a doctrine of a demon. And that's why we need to let the Bible speak. On every subject, we do not have the right to come up with any doctrine of our own, any teaching that would be contrary to God's word. Ladies and gentlemen, we have run out of time, I'm sorry to say, but we want you to know you are to be commended by tuning in and showing a desire to know the truth, and it will be that truth that will set you free. And thus we are able to be blessed from God's word and God's word alone. Even as we wind down this program and before it ends, please be sure to enroll in the course, and it will be in the mail this week to you. It'll be free. Again, the number is 553-5157. Go ahead and call now before we change it back to dial a Bible study. Let's remove the blinders that the wicked one has put on us and let us see the truth for ourselves. Ladies and gentlemen, let's let the Bible speak.